I'm excited for today. I'm excited for two reasons. One, because it's Lay Witness Sunday, which means you get to hear from some of your folks. You get to hear from people who are out there with you, doing what you're doing, living life the same way that you are, trying to follow the rabbi. I'm excited about that. And the second reason that I'm excited about that is you don't have to listen to me. I'm excited about that. Hey, thank you for one honest person. Hallelujah. So this morning we have some folks who are going to come share with you what God is doing. Lay Witness Sunday is one of those Sundays. It's interesting because you just have to ask people to step out in faith. How many of you love speaking to crowds of people? You just love it. That's your thing. I've got one, two, yeah, three. We've got two or three people. There's 60-something folks in here. Three people out of 60, that's not a lot. So the folks who are going to share with you today are being, they're just being faithful to God. And I gave them every opportunity. I said, listen, to, you know, if you don't want to do this, and they were like, the Lord's going to make me. And I said, well, that's between you and the Lord. I can't help that. So I hope that you will pay attention and you will stay focused and you will listen to what God is doing in the lives of the people, several of the folks from our community of faith, Maranatha. I'm going to ask Ms. Guadalupe Gonzalez to come. Will you help her as she comes up?
Good morning. I'm glad half of this members are here. Did you ever have a friend that would do anything crazy with you? Stay out late, hanging out, go to bars, nightclubs, house parties, anywhere, as long as you were having a good time and you weren't home. Did that friend ever look sad and lonely to you? Or were they always joyful in appearance, but deep down, you knew there was more to their story? I knew someone like that. She was the black sheep of the family who didn't listen to her parents and always thought she knew best when it came down to making decisions for her future. As a matter of fact, in May 1997, she decided to pack up her bags and move out of the house. Where? She didn't care. With whom? Her boyfriend of 8 months at that time. She disappointed her parents, family, and friends, but there was no turning back once she set her mind. The world was at her disposal, and she was ready to be free and start a new life. That person was me, alone and unsure what my future had in store for me. I knew I had made a big mistake a few months into living with my then boyfriend, and I continue to make more mistakes along the way, but my pride and stubbornness would not allow me to admit to those failures and ask for forgiveness. Fast forward 10 years later. It was August 2007, and I was online creating a profile account to a website called Batanga.com. They were a Spanish music streaming service provider, which worked a little bit like Spotify meets Facebook, but not to the caliber of performance that these two companies currently have. I was intrigued with this one particular account that had, I mean, at least I thought, the best cumbia and Spanish oldies playlist. So I sent the user a private message to let him know I was enjoying his amazing playlists. As I quickly looked over his profile, I was impressed by what I read. Just as I clicked send, I looked to see where he lived, and it said, Calgary, CA. In my mind, that was Calgary, California. But since I'm terrible in geography, I learned that he was in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. That, my friends, is how I met Tomas, my husband. Tomas and I started our friendship over the internet, and we quickly realized that we had a lot in common. I, however, had no idea I would fall in love with this man and would be traveling to Calgary every 2 to 3 months to see him. Mind you, that's 1,972 miles away, so I needed to get on a frequent flyer program pronto. As most relationships in the beginning, everything was lovely, fantastic, exciting, perfect. But like any other relationship, we had our challenges, arguments, fights, resentment, and poor communication on my part. It didn't help that we were so far apart. And did I mention that there's a 2-hour difference between us, mountain time? It was really taking a toll on the both of us, and we knew it. My world came crashing down one beautiful Saturday morning in the spring of 2012, and I just could no longer do this. I was hurt, angry, broken. Thoughts of suicide had even crossed my mind. I felt lonely and afraid in that very moment that I felt hopeless and unloved. I got on my knees in my bedroom and cried out to the Lord for help, and he heard me. On Sunday, March 4th, 2012, I gave my life to Christ. When the preacher laid his hand on my shoulders to pray over me, I felt the warmest, most peaceful feeling inside and something that was saying to me, "It's okay. I got you. It's going to be okay. Do you trust me? Let it go. I'm here now, so don't be afraid." That was the best decision I've ever made, and long overdue. Little by little, I began to see changes within myself. I let go of trivial things. I stopped hanging out with a group of people. I no longer listened to certain music or read books that wouldn't edify. I even got rid of my television so I could focus more on reading my Bible and listening to Christian podcasts. These were small changes that I was doing, but they made a big impact in my life. I had fast results in many personal areas, but not so much in others. An example, my attitude, anger, jealousy, my indifference. Even though I had given my life to Christ, I still had to face many challenges, and of course, my long-distance relationship with Tomas. So, what was our solution? Well, we got married July 25th, 2015, in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. As a matter of fact, we just recently celebrated our 3 years anniversary, and I cannot believe we will be celebrating 11th year relationship this September. I would have never imagined we would have lasted this long. Throughout all the bad storms and uncertainties, God has never left my side or allowed me to give up on Tomas or our marriage. Why am I still here, you may ask? Many of you know a bit about my story, but the reason is because I'm waiting for the Canadian government to approve my permanent residency application. It's been a long process, but I do see a light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't worry, because the Lord has it all under control. He has the perfect plan for me. I am no longer in control, never have been. I've prayed all these years and asked for only 3 things. Patience, patience, patience. But you see, I'm no longer that lost woman who was afraid, lonely, and sad. I now trust in His word, and I have hope that He is faithful and will deliver in His perfect time, not mine. Proverbs 3, verses 5, 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." I feel blessed that the Lord led me to this house of worship when I was looking around for a new church. I even remember the first person I met outside the parking lot on a Saturday afternoon when driving by the signage out there that read, "Worship service at 10:30. That was back in the day before. It was Miss Jamie. I don't know if she's here. She's over there. Miss Jamie. I asked her for the phone number of the pastor so I could confirm, just make sure, and make sure this was indeed a Pentecostal house of worship. And so 3 years ago, I found Maranatha. I found a home. I feel so good to meet so many people from all over the world and share so much with you all. Everyone made me feel right at home immediately. I have so many people to thank here for all their prayers, their encouraging words, and their uplifting spirit. Even on a bad day, I don't dare miss a service because I know that when I leave this place, all my worries and doubts are forgotten, and I have a new perspective on the matter. I give it all to the Lord. I'll continue to ask you to pray for Tomas and me and for our long-distance marriage. Satan wants to destroy what God has joined and blessed. And the enemy will try all his tricks to get to us, but he will fail. We press on and don't look back to what we once were. I know very soon the Lord will allow me to leave Maryland and move to Canada. And I will continue to pray for those three things. Patience, patience, patience. I know I cannot tell my whole story in a few minutes. Pastor Ben has allowed me today to speak with you. He said keep it 8 to 10 minutes. So I leave you with my favorite verse that I've engraved in my heart since that day in March 2012. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you.
That was so good. Thank you for sharing. Woohoo, black sheep. I'm not reveling in that. That's just something that we have in common. I like to have things in common with people like her because she's a wonderful person. Yeah, no more. Now it's just sort of a grayish kind of, no, I'm kidding about that. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for sharing your story. That's not easy. That's not easy. When you come up and you admit to everybody that you love who you think sees you like maybe one certain way, that you didn't just grow up in the arms of God and everything's been fine the whole time and no dirt on me, that's hard. Thank you so much for sharing, Guadalupe. All right. My next act, I'm just kidding. The next folks who are going to come and share with you are Kavita and Abraham Durajaye. Why don't you guys come on up? Yeah, you can clap for them. Come on.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Guadalupe, for going first. I am so nervous. Okay, so our story is, this is my husband, Abraham. We have been married for almost 4 years. We have a daughter, Gabrielle. Thank you. So anybody who knows me, or for the people that don't know me, I have a background. Like, my dad is Muslim, so I come from that background. And before I met Abraham, I just knew there was something missing. For the longest, I told people, I said, I am a spiritual person, I'm not religious, because I was confused. I was confused with the fact that, you know, I didn't go to church because my mom is Christian, and I never went to the mosque because my dad is a Muslim. I just didn't want to choose which path to go to. And so, a few months before I met Abraham, I had decided, you know what, this is just not working for me. I need to find Jesus, because like, when I pray through Jesus, but I just didn't want to go to church, because I didn't want to be identified as a Christian. I didn't want people to say, you're a Christian, or you're a Muslim. I just defended it and said, I'm a spiritual being, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a Muslim, I'm praying to God. So when I met Abraham, I told him, I said, I'm looking for someone to take me to church. You know, I want to be in church. So if we're going to be together, then we need to find Jesus together. So that was my thing. I didn't want to find somebody who was just like me, because I knew it was just, something was just missing, and I just wanted to find Jesus. So Abe and I started to look for a church, and in the process, we decided, hey, we do really want to be together. We want to get married. So with us, it was like in 3 months, we decided, hey, we feel like we're for each other. Let's do this. So soon, we talked to our parents. You know, in 6 months, we were talking engagements, rings, and everything. And, well, soon, you know, our parents, I don't know, they were happy. They're crazy like us. They were happy, so soon we got married. You know, we got married, but in the process, we were like searching for churches. You know, we would go to this one church, and in the beginning, we would feel like we belonged. But then a couple of weeks into it, we would realize, no, they didn't miss us last Sunday when we didn't go. You know, like, we didn't like the greeters. They just even didn't recognize us. Like it was either way too big, like, you know, you just didn't fit in. And sometimes the messages were lost. Like, you know, you would hear a message and you would be like, oh, what's he talking about? Like, it just doesn't make sense. So, we got married. We were still looking for churches here and there. Soon we were expecting our first child. And I remember, you know, Jamie had her child. She had Tirini. And, you know, she and Uncle Yinka, they invited us to the dedication. So we were like, okay, well, this is a family thing. We cannot skip on it. We cannot go to our old church today, so we're coming to this church. We didn't expect anything. We just got dressed and came to church. But when we entered the premises, when we came in here, it was just different, at least to me. I just kind of felt different. The greeters were like just different. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like going to a church and, you know, knowing that, okay, I'm going to church, I would love this church. Like, you know how sometimes you go to a very hyped up, big, huge church and you just know, oh my God, the pastor, he does miracles and he does this and he does that. And you're just like, oh my God, maybe he'll prophesy. And, you know, who knows? You know, it wasn't anything like that, but it was just, it was just different. It was coming in here, it was just, I don't remember who greeted me, but I just kind of felt like, oh my God, I felt welcome. I felt welcome, and when I sat down, I felt, you know, I belong. I just felt like, this is home, you're home now. Like, the thing that sealed it for me, when Pastor Ben started to talk, the message, everything was just great. I remember leaning over to Abe and going like, that's the church we're going to. And that was it. We just never stopped. And for us, this church not only is a home, like a lot of people, if you're new, the old people of course know, it's just the diversity. Like everybody is different, but everybody is together. When we do things like together. Given that, you know, the church has been there for us in so many ways. Like, you know, when we had our baby, you know, we had, you know, lots of you bring food, just show us love, show us like, hey, you haven't been here long, but we know that you're here. We've had certain challenges that, you know, I'll give to my husband to continue.
Yeah, so this is where the story gets really good. as Kavita said, you know, when we started coming, when we decided that we were going to make Maranatha our home church, right at that point, we were expecting, and she had stopped working, so we were practically dependent on my job. And about a few months before having Gabby, and I lost my job. And totally unexpected, we were in the process of planning to move to a bigger space, so many things financially were in our path. We had no plans, none whatsoever. We had a little bit of savings, but no plans. Not too many people knew. I think my mom knew. I think that was pretty much it. And so we strangely just knew how to look up to God and start praying and drew closer to each other. We did not stress each other out. Strangely, you know, I don't know how we managed not to do that. You know, we didn't fight, you know, we didn't argue or anything like that. We just said, look, it's going to be okay. You know, I don't know how, but it's going to be okay. And so we managed to move. We got a bigger space. We moved seamlessly. everything fell into place. And while that process was good, and Gabby came, yay, that was beautiful. But right before that whole, right before Gabby came, I'd actually, while I was looking for a job, I picked up Uber. This was back when Uber was still kind of cool, I think. You know, Uber's kind of changed right now. But anyways, we're not going to talk about that. So I picked up Uber. And so that, you know, I did that partially because, you know, it gave us the opportunity to get some money, but then also gave the flexibility because we didn't know when she would be due. I needed to know that I wouldn't be stuck at a job and not be able to, you know, leave and whatnot. So this was, you know, perfect balance. And so during my course of Ubering, I actually picked up my then boss. So, you know, God works in mysterious ways. You know, it was so amazing. You know, I picked him up, he and his then girlfriend. I picked him up and gave him a ride, and we dropped her off first, and he and I just engaged in a conversation, and I started talking to him about what I did for a living, and the conversation just blossomed, and we exchanged contact information. I met with him a couple of weeks later, and I got a job. And it was so miraculous, you know, and nobody knew, you know, it was just amazing just how God worked. And I mean, I'm not there anymore, and God has, you know, excelled us, you know, beyond that, but it was just so amazing how, you know, in that tough time, or what seemed to be a tough time, where we didn't know what to do or who to turn to, we just knew to turn to God. And he came through. And, you know, our church, our new church family, you know, you guys were all awesome. I mean, you guys welcomed us. You know, the food, the food that we got when Kavita gave birth to Gabby, that was so awesome. I mean, we thank you guys so much for that. And just being so inviting and making us feel so welcome in this our church home. So thank you guys so much.
Amen. Thank you for sharing, guys. The word says that a man makes his plans, but his steps are ordered. Thank God for that. Last and certainly not least, I'm going to ask my brother Moses Adibara to come and share with you this morning.
Good morning, church. I want to encourage you in line with the message and the report that the pastor gave us about the fight that is about to happen. I want you to look quickly at the scripture. It talks about where is your citizenship. Our citizenship is of heaven, and we are expecting someone to take us home, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I just want to leave you with that, because whether you like it or not, humanly speaking, you want to reflect on that as you leave the church. But be assured that if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have nothing to worry about. I'd like to thank the church leadership for giving me the opportunity to share within a few minutes my testimony. I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ many, many years ago. But if years is anything to go by, I shouldn't have gone through anything whatsoever near where I found myself. But as you look at the thing that I put right in front, please, I cannot take credit for this. A member of this church who knew I was moving to a new place, as a couple, they agreed to help me out in putting things right. And we went to one of the shop, Hobby Lobby or something, and I found out. I bought this and I put it in my living room, and each time I look at it, it summarizes my testimony. I don't know about yours. If years is anything to go by, I can, humanly speaking, boast of knowing the Lord, of giving my life to the Lord many years ago. But it's not a question of if, it's when the center will cave. then we can know where your God is. We can know where you believe. I find myself in Maryland by strange circumstances. And I live like 3 minutes away from here, never in traffic. I can always get to church on time. But a time came when it was necessary for me to change, to look for a place. I spoke with Pastor. I said, Pastor, I am looking for a comfortable place to live temporarily. And we prayed. I remember at that junction there, we prayed and he said, the Lord should give me the confidence, nothing to worry about how and when I'm going to get a house. It became so difficult that I almost gave up. And I try to refrain from mentioning any name because it's not about the individual, it's about Christ in them. I remember this very particular Sunday, Pastor was not around. He told a leader in the church, and he called me and called this member of this church and said, this is Moses, this is this person, and that was it. And I told that individual, I was embarrassed because how do you talk to a stranger? Somebody you never met, even in the church. But the individual said one thing, whatever they need, I will do it for you. And I said, you will? He said, yes, I will. To make a very long story short, we did all we have to do. Eventually, the enemy of our soul, the one who's not interested in our progress, put a stumbling block. And I came back to the pastor. Pastor said, don't worry, let's continue to pray. Today, I have a place of my own. It may not be anything to you, but to me, that is the place I desire. And God granted that desire. I stand here to also share quickly within the time that I have. No matter what is broken, if a bridge is burned, if a bridge is damaged, if a bridge is removed, whatsoever in your life, for as long as you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he can mend it. He can reconstruct it. People will see me here and say, do you have a family? Yes, I do. But as soon as the center was caving in, it caved in. Today I stand by the special grace of God to say, I am a father to 4 kids, 3 grandkids. Do I have my partner like Abraham? No, I don't. But I'm not bothered. Somebody asked me, and again, I refrain from mentioning name. Do you intend to? I said, if the Lord does, fine. If not, nothing will separate me from the Lord, from the serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I also want quickly to tell you one thing. I used to go to PG Mall there to drive by. And at a point in time, I was looking for a church. I keep seeing these signboards. Whoever is keeping that light on, please keep it on. Very impressive. I saw it, and one day in the church I was going to, which is walking distance to where I lived, we do church service, then we do Sunday school. This very particular Sunday, I said, okay, I'm going to attend the church service, Sunday school, I'm going to check this place out. I drove, I met a brother. When does service start? I look at my watch, 2 minutes time. Oh, good timing. I came right in. Also, I'm going to refrain from mentioning them. I sat there. 2 ladies saw me after the service. They gave me a welcome. How are you? And things. And they happened to be from my own side of the world. Since that day, about 6 months ago, I've never gotten back to my church. I've not only been coming here on Sunday. Guess what is my best day in the week? On Tuesday. 7 to 8 thereafter. Where? Here. Interactive Bible study. What I get from there is the subject, and when other people contribute, I want to give credit to the leader, the pastor of the church, who knows so much, but yet respect other people to contribute. I seldom talk there. But when I go back home, I remember what people say. And the another person that is looking at me that I'll try not to also mention his name has been my good friend. I found out that two roll before one another. We always sit down. At the end of the service, we look at, greet. On Tuesday, too, the same thing. So what I'm saying in essence is that I have started to get to know people. I don't know if anybody's trying to get to know me, because church home is the most important thing to me, more than my job. A church home is the best place for me regularly. And I'm not a Sunday church Christian. I like to go to midweek service 2 times, 3 times. It doesn't bother me. I give God all the glory, because if there's anyone who's unworthy to stand before you and testify, my testimony is to the goodness of the Lord, the grace of God, the amazing grace, the favor of the living God that has not counted my errors, my mistakes, using my head sometimes, but yet he loves me. As I take my seat this morning, no matter how far you have gone, don't even try to rationalize it, because his hand is not short that he cannot deliver. No matter how far you've gone, no matter what you've done with your hand, God is a loving God. He kept me. My mind is still sound. I'm very hopeful. There is nothing that our God cannot fix. All you need is faith in him, not in yourself. Because sometimes you might think, oh, I can do it. No, you can't do nothing. Except he enables you. Again, I'd like to thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak to you in this heavy African accent. I've been around for a long time. If you laugh at me, you will not be the first time. My kids, they laugh at me. To make it worse, my grandkids. They say, Grandpa, Dad told us you went to school. I say, yes, I finished all my grades before I came here. Your dad came to do this grade. The youngest came to do this grade. So today, you are a citizen of heaven by the fact that you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Regardless of what is happening, whatever is going on, you are sure you're going somewhere. Thank you very much. Amen. May the Lord bless you all. Love you.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. God bless you. Thank you to everybody who shared. Thank you so much for sharing that. I do want to share just a little bit more. I'm not going to preach. Everybody just breathe easy. I'm not going to preach. I want to share on behalf of my brother Bill. He got my attention this morning, and Bill came to the church for a while and then took a little time off and then came back. And if you don't know, Bill went through a really difficult period. Bill was being fed orally up until a certain point a few months ago. Nobody realized that he was aspirating. Nobody realized that some of the food and some of the liquid, because of his difficulties, was making its way into his lungs. And he was feeling awful, and his physical condition was slowly but surely declining. Well, he was having a different issue. He went into the hospital. They did a lot of scans, and they said, you're aspirating. You can't do this feeding anymore. Do you want a feeding tube? I need you to think about that for a second. I think when you go out to lunch today, you need to give God glory for more than just the food. I think you need to be grateful for all the parts of you that work, for all the ways that you take your life just for granted. We need to be grateful, not just for where the food came from or for what it's going to do for us, but that we can physically swallow it and take it in. And they said to him, do you want a feeding tube? And Bill took a minute. He shared it with me this morning. He said, I had to decide, Pastor, if I wanted to live or to die. Put that into context as well, won't you? And then Bill said, nope, by faith I will live. And he took that feeding tube, and he's never felt better. He's never been better. He's never felt better. He's never loved his life more. He's never been more physically healthy. Bill's in good shape, and he gives it all to the Lord. He gives it all to the Lord. He wanted to share that with you this morning.